Well, folks, hello, hi there, and welcome to Divas, Diamonds, and Dollars podcast. We empower today's lady boss who seeks whole life strategies for living their best life. We bring you the key success principles and to support you as you grow into the best version of yourself, offering whole helpful tips on personal finance, leadership, and business to help you get ahead and succeed at a higher level. Now, honestly, we are your hosts, Larissa Troach and
And Cecilia Benford. See, I was so
okay.
excited to get my name in there, you see? Go ahead.
So, if you didn't know it, you know it now, that wealth is created from the neck up. Now, at first glance, that statement might suggest I'm talking about supermodels or those who use their looks to earn money. Nay, nay, I say. In this context, I am referring to brain power. What does that mean? People will pay for your skills, knowledge, and abilities. And when you use these particular superpowers, you can really readily earn money for what you can teach others, for ways you help others improve, or being able to solve problems for others. You already have everything you need to make multiple streams of revenue. And the question becomes, are you using your SKAs to the fullest extent possible? Gentle listener, when considering how one should start diversifying your income, one smart place to look is a within. E-commerce is an exciting arena, very profitable, as is crafting, perhaps, or making beautiful and selling beautiful. However, in terms of working smarter, not harder, avoiding businesses that require inventory or unnecessary overhead is a great way to keep more of the revenue in your own pocket rather than paying a portion out to someone else. However, the important piece to remember is that the key is to treat your coaching slash consulting business as a business because what? It is. Now, we are getting started with income diversification today. So, as on what comes first if, when you're ready to make this move. And we picked these two, which I had not said before, but I'm going to explain it now. We feel like coaching and consulting is probably, I may have said it last week, but anyway, coaching and consulting or consulting could be one of the first ways you want to get started with a portfolio, if you will, of income. And I'll let Cecilia explain, but we honestly feel that there is actually a difference between the two. So perhaps you can share how you feel is different. Maybe, well, I wonder if we have the same opinion. How do you think the two differ before you go into the whys and wherefores? What's different about it? What would you say?
Well, first and foremost, you're right. They definitely are related. And I agree with you. Gosh, how could they not be the best avenues for getting started, for your second or third income? So ultimately, the outcomes are very similar. You certainly are looking for radical transformation and massive results. But the approach to each is slightly different. So let me just give you my definition. And I think the coaching part is a little harder for a lot of people because it gets to a personal feeling of what do you mean you're going to coach me? As a matter of fact, I had that conversation just today. Someone asked me about using me for a reference. And I said, yes. However,
Ooh, no one
if
wants
you,
to hear, however.
I know, I said, and actually, or but either way, right? I said, but she would have to be open to some coaching.
Oh, wow.
And so, with that being said, now the person would have been happy if I said yes, but I know that this person needs some coaching. And if you're going to use me for a reference, I need to be coaching you, right? In my view. So here it is. Coaching is more relational. But what people don't understand about coaching is It brings out the curious side. It brings out, first, I need to know what questions to ask you. It is more a coaching and getting information, and then you provide feedback to that person. And so everybody really can't do that. Sometimes people think coaching is just to go all in with all the answers. That truly is not it, because you're not helping that person develop. Okay. And so for me, it's a natural fit because I've done it for years out of necessity. It's, when you're developing your leaders to get the best outcome for the mission, as well as, providing self-development for them, you are helping them, enhance their careers. So that coaching has to be a give and take. In the sense of when you ask questions, it helps them see, oh, okay, what is it about myself that I need to understand? Whereas the consultant part of it is, as you already said, Larissa, it has to do with your skills, knowledge, and abilities. And so that's your expertise. You actually could, be a consultant really without being, a coach. And so on some of my consultant projects, it's interesting to have this conversation because I've been a consultant, and sometimes I think the person needs coaching. And I'm thinking, okay, that's not what I'm here for. Sometimes, depending on me, it might be a time constraint or the person's not receptive. That's not what I was hired to do. I have to sit on just providing the consult. For which I was hired. So I hope that explains it to our listening audience.
I feel like you did an exceptional job explaining that because I do know that they are different, and I could not have said it any better. I think your explanation is much better than anything I was going to say. So thank you for clarifying and really breaking it down for folks. I do feel like I do agree that coaching is more personal. It's about personal development. It's about the whole self. Someone has to be a willing to grow, but again, as you say, willing to accept feedback and accountability. And that is tough for many people who are high achievers because, well, clearly they have all the answers. They don't need any.
Absolutely.
And when you hear about these quote unquote gurus who are still getting coaching and paying high dollars, for someone to help them grow to the next level. So I do, some people can and some people can't. Same point about coaching. I feel like it's more like project centered or about, something external to the individual. So great job, ma'am. Great job.
So, with that being said, we're going to just go with commonalities because, best practices that work, there are best practices that work for either or both. So let's look at the why, the when, and the where, who, and how. I love that. You know what? Isn't it interesting? We learned about that at a very young age. And sometimes I think people, any of us should go back to that, and particularly in what we're talking about. I think that's very beneficial. So we can look at the aspects for both. And the what is certainly going to be specific to your own, as your skills, knowledge, and ability. So I'll start with the why. So as we have somewhat indicated, certainly coaching and consulting offer the lowest barrier of entry. Why? Because you have already developed, you already have your expertise. And so certainly you have what it takes to get started. Relatively easy, people, to get started. And as we explore this area, we might, kind of see, okay, there's some nuances about that, of course. But you got a lot of experience tucked under your belt. And I think sometimes people don't realize that. So why not get paid for what you're truly worth, almost without breaking a sweat? So, I have to say again, start with your SKAs. And I'm going to say, SKAs. So I'm going to call out my SKAs. So what, and that is my SKAs plus my expertise, right? So for my SKAs get you, I start out with passion and curiosity because That helps me have a broader view of where I might can go in this area. Okay. I'm good at developing, what's the word? Seeing more than one answer to a problem. And because I'm interested in whatever a project is, because otherwise I probably won't take them on. But I just learned to really be interested in so many things. So my passion will come out. And then it's certainly the purpose for what you're getting to. So, and I'm reason I'm sharing what mine are is so you can see how alike coaching and consulting can be. Purpose, focus. Those are things that I'm very purpose oriented. I'm very focus oriented. And as a strategic thinker, because sometimes what I've, seen, somebody gives you a vision, they give you a goal, but really they had not thought enough themselves to really get the best product. So as a strategic thinker, over time, I'm going to use my contracting expertise was my, golden standard of I knew a lot of things about contracting. But what I have found is that what I learned with these by developing who I am, I could coach others, but I could also bring those skills and expertise to a consultant position. So these things that I've just shared with you applies to many, many types of consultations that you might undergo. So what about the when? Now, this can be a problem, obviously. This is something, you're trying to figure out how to one get started, and sometimes we limit ourselves before we even get going. But when you freelance, you do get to decide when and with whom you work. And I mean, wow, how beautiful. I tell people, sometimes they ask me, how do I like, where I am in life? I say, I love it. I get to call and say yay or nay. I loved my job, my career when I was in it. I was all in it. I was all, the game was to get the mission accomplished and, put all, the my SKAs and my expertise together. And I was, always satisfied with, where that would take me. But bringing that to where I am today, it's a challenge to see what you can do with that. And so if you are a coach or a consultant, okay, don't get overexcited. First, require a retainer to get started, and then set realistic intervals for the deliverables. And I will tell you that, you start off typically with maybe a 1 hour, 2 hour opening free consultation, right?
That be 2 hours. Go ahead.
Well, and when it's interesting, and when you start setting out the deliverables, that's when you know who the serious people are, whether they come back or not, right? So just wanted to say, I want to repeat again, you must set realistic intervals for the deliverables because people need to know what their, what your expectations are. I find that to be the so maybe the biggest challenge or the biggest hurdle, okay? Because sometimes you may not be comfortable with that, but once you get going, it gets better. Now, much of consulting certainly does involve research and writing. This is not a shoot from the hip, just talk about what you know. You must, even if no matter how much of an expert that you might be, you need to do some research for, relevancy. Maybe some things have changed in what you learned. You need to provide updated material so that, people do continue to see your value and so that you do provide the best product. So the good thing about, researching and writing some things is that, so as I've done, research and writing, and you're documenting. That's the other thing I like about it. And as you share with an individual, they get to understand a little bit more about where something is going. But you get to control that narrative, as and you schedule that when it's necessary. So when you're doing this for somebody, you let them know, okay, this is, what I've assessed that we're going to do. I'm going to do some research, and or I'm going to answer some questions, and I'll get back to you in such and such. And you determine when that I'm going to get back to you, right? You could be a night owl or early bird. Pencil in the necessary time for the brain work. Don't just have this up here, because if you don't, you'll find yourself allowing time to get away from you. You must pencil in that necessary time. I'm emphasizing necessary because it is. You might be the biggest brainiac going, but you need that time, okay? Also, what's truly related to that is, as you're thinking about when you're going to do that work, you have to schedule your client, your time when you're going to face your cl clients. It has to be on the calendar. But I also say that you are scheduling for your purposes. Sometimes we ask somebody else, well, when would be a good time for you? Well, first of all, you got to determine when's a good time for yourself. If you're not, again, as I mentioned earlier, night owl or early bird, me, I'm an early bird. And so I'm at my best. There are a couple things I do that I can tell my brain works better in the morning. Am I able to work in the evening? Yes, it's not my preference. So I'm going to schedule appointments early with people, right? So that's the best for me. Another win moment is, okay, don't schedule yourself every day. Okay. You should, as you're just determining, that's the thing. Sometimes people kind of forget, first of all, they think you're only their consultant. They think you're available whenever because they want you to do something. That's not what that means. It means that when you're setting your schedule, you must account for what other priorities that you have. And as we talk about priorities, think about your work-life balance. I am so keen on that. And I know I still have to really work for that work-life balance because of all the different things that can. I see my dear sister kind of, winking at me. It is a challenge. And so my advice is be firm about this. So you my even when I was, during my career, what I had developed over time, I understood the need for that. And so early on, Friday was my day off, meaning not day off. It meant one or two things. Maybe I would have a 3-day weekend, but it was my planning time. It was my time to look back at the week to, see what went well, what I need to work on. But it was also time to encourage others. So that led me to encourage them to do the same. Now, nobody ever said, well, man, that's just not a good thing to do. Because maybe they just figured out, well, that was something that, and I think most of them, and I'm talking about my staff, not necessarily their employees or other employees, although I think they sort of got that sense because I would send out, certain messages for the weekend. But not to ramble on about that, be firm about this. That's the key. And schedule, that work-life balance. So, if I may just talk one last bit, Larissa, and that's about the where of all of what we're talking about. And so today, is that not such a big story? So I have to say, I'm a fan of meeting in person. And that's become a shall we or shall we not? But meeting virtually does allow for greater flexibility. Remember, what we're talking about is extra income. And so, with that being said, it's certainly going to be lower overhead. And really, it is a value add multimedia approach. And so I've learned to wiggle, and I feel like the, I don't know what you want to call it, the person who's holding up like three electronic devices. You know what I'm saying? I got the iPad, I got the phone, the Zoom going at the same time. I don't really advise that one does that all the time. Just again, if you want to be focused, you want to be present, that's really important. But virtually, you don't have any travel time involved. And so at first, there was a lot of complaint about all the Zooms, but then, trying to bring out the positive really, I think, was helpful to me. So I would just say, don't let that be 24/7. Your virtual time is still office time, right? Have a window for when you're going to hold your meetings. And so there are all kind of calendars that you can create for people to see when you are available. So create that calendar. I start off in a good way. I did like it, Now I did strongly use that before my career because it was just so much coming at me. I made my calendar available. You want to meet with me? This is the time I'm available, please, but I could do a little bit better about that even now to, share my calendar. But when you do that, the bottom line is you're gonna manage expectations better. So with that's my why and when and where, and a little bit of my what with my SKAs, just so you could just see how this might look for you on the other end.
Now, all this may sound, I hope it doesn't sound overwhelming, but I mean, at the end of the day, we're trying to help you monetize your SKAs. And the important thing is that you start with your who. It's so critical that you start with a target audience. And the more specific you can get with this, the better the results, meaning the greater the revenue potential. So consider, what specific problem does your solution solve? What transformation does your system provide? You want to find, for example, the specific 44-year-old college graduate named Samantha, whose kids will be finishing college soon, making Samantha an empty nester. So she better start planning and financing her next act. But she doesn't have a lot of spare time because she's still working. So she really needs a process that uses automation, artificial intelligence, augmentation to craft the magic for her small business. That is a level of specificity. Did you get all those characteristics that I named? That's how clear you need to be so that you can very specifically, consistently, and accurately target your messaging and content so that when Samantha comes across your post or adverts, she is in awe of just how perfectly you fit what she's looking for and feels that you're speaking directly to her on a personal level. So niche down. People say, "Oh no, I can help everybody." We know you can help everybody, but in terms of your tribe finding you, niche down to talk only to the specific 44-year-old Samanthas who are searching for what you have to offer. Other people will find you, but when Samanthas find you, that's where the magic happens. So get really, may I use the word really, clear on your who. And the magic becomes, okay, how's it supposed to happen? Well, let's discuss. Listen, we all have 24 hours each day, 8 of which, plus or minus, are lost to sleeping, maybe another 8 out of 9 to 5, if this is your, if you're growing your business on the side. So seriously, how do we make this work, profitably speaking? First recommendation is to create packages. We already told you need to limit your time, right? Your availability. You're not a 24/7 response. That is unrealistic and you'll get burnout, you'll be unhappy. And we don't want you trading hours for dollars all the time. Your results should be systematic. If you have a real solution or a real product package or course, It should be systematic, and you need to document that. So even though each client will be different, the systematic approach that you take them through to get results can be arranged in packages, offering specific levels of access to you, your brain power, or components at specific price points. Really look at what you do and figure out how you can break it down into the individual pieces, and then how should you assemble those pieces. Think package. One might involve 1 hour plus action steps. Package two maybe involves everything in package one, but then you also offer a transcript of the sessions, perhaps, or a workbook. And then package three, if you will, all of two plus one or two follow-up sessions or additional complimentary bonuses. And that's why we mentioned holding virtual office hours. Now, you meet with your people during your sessions, but you know they have questions. So maybe you add office hours as a bonus or to supplement the program or, you know, create a schedule, like I said, just for general Q&A. You can make that subscription-based as another revenue stream, depending on your subject matter. So you really want to get creative in how you assemble your offering. And number two, create pods. Now, I would call a pod possibilities, opportunities, and dreams, right? You're bringing people together. So a time-bound one-to-many approach lets you help multiple people at the same time. So that works better for you. And additionally, if you will, they actually learn from and receive support from the others in the group. That's why you want to bring people together. This allows for exponential growth, that sense of community that we actually crave, and accountability with you seen as the goddess of all that is great and good. Okay, and that's a good place to be for bringing together such a wonderful group of like-minded individuals on the same journey. So, price accordingly. One thing with coaches in the beginning or consultants, they underprice themselves. No, you've got the goods. So do it once per quarter, maybe twice a year, with a limited number of mavens to keep it cohesive and allow adequate attention for all attendees. But the one-to-many approach is a better, I feel, model in terms of time, results, and growth. And as I just said, charge a premium. If, on the other hand, you are willing to work one-to-one sometimes, like I'm suggesting group coaching or multiple clients, then charge a premium for access to your undivided attention. Because no matter how wonderful your groups are, someone's like, no, but I need time with just you. I need to be one-on-one. Great, sure. Once in a while, maybe you can do that, but it has to be worth your time. And really, to really grow beyond these three great ideas, why not train the trainer? You can only clone yourself. For, you know, cloning is beneficial in this regard. No science fiction, scary movies. Take a look at your business model. Can you rework it by building a team? There are only so many hours in the day, and at some point, your income will stall or plateau because there's only so much of you to go around. As your business starts to grow, consider training others in your processes. When you have a team, you will continue to earn, for example, a portion of the income from their sales as well, especially if you provide the referrals to them, like, you know, the contact comes to you and then you assign a coach, reach coach or consultant under you has quote unquote, they call it floor time in real estate. Like whoever walks in the office, then whoever's on for that day gets the client, for example. However you do it, don't try and do everything all by yourself. You should have people under you, you know, who can also help others. And that way, it doesn't have to be based on what you can do in your, what did we just give you? We gave you 16 hours. You've got to sleep for a few minutes. I need you to go sleep sometimes. Okay. So that's the how, and that's where the magic is. So I hope you really took notes on that and spent some time on putting your own how together. And honestly, at the end of the day, you know what you have to do. You have to make it experiential. Coaching and or consulting, whether you're doing one or both, we all know information abounds. These are smart people. They can go out there and Google and YouTube and find anything. It just won't have your secret sauce, but they can find it. So people crave a connection with others. Create raving fans when you make them feel special. How might I do that, you ask? Well, you know the old adage, under promise and over deliver. That's the first easy, low-hanging fruit that we should all be striving toward. I will say, however, that you can also deepen the relationship and the devotion. That's not really what I wanted to say, but anyway, the connection. When you learn about the client as a person, these are people, these are not transactions. That's you have to keep that in mind. So when you learn what makes them, when you find out who and what are special to her, and then you work these into the conversation, you ask about, you connect the dots. Oh my gosh, mind blown, heart throb. And then my favorite, of course, is Alice, a little something extra. So always include a little something extra in your packages. Like I said, we're recommending that you create packages, but what else will enrich your client's experience and results? A companion book or release, chapters from that book, related to the session that you had, perhaps. That's a golden nugget that can, what's it called? Raise the perception of value of your offerings, or other bonuses like checklists, cheat sheets, swipe files. That means where you hand them scripts for your emails or whatever your process is, and all the goods to make their journey easier. So consider your core offering, and then what little something can you add to make it again more experiential and more enriching for the client? Oh my gosh, I didn't know I couldn't talk this morning. So I hope that we have given you a lot to talk about. I want you to get excited about what's between your ears. Okay? Get paid for what you know by offering coaching or consulting to your community. Define your niche. Remember Samantha, 44, empty nester, wondering what to do next. Document your systems. Look, see, I already told you, you cannot keep it in your head. You must put it on paper. I'm sorry, or in a digital file. My bad. And craft your packages. Get started on that today because we know you have got the SKA, so we want you to get paid. And just by the by, if you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us on Spotle. I love that platform. But sometimes you might want to follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcast and turn on episode notifications so you never miss new content. Thank you for being part of our podcasting journey. And that, my darlings, I thank you for listening. We will be back with you next week for another exciting chapter on creating a portfolio of income. It's so much more elegant than multiple streams of revenue. We're going to create a portfolio of income. So stay tuned and we will see you next week. Cheers.